Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav ki tzai b'fiv. Of course, it's a big pella that which Yitzchak, that he loved Esav. Simple understanding, as we're taught growing up, is that Esav is able to fool Yitzchak. Deepest Sfarim, of course, say that's not true. Yitzchak, as a blind man, can see better with his spiritual eyes than he can with his physical eyes. It's not so pashut that a man who is blinded by the tears of the Malachim, by the Akedah, shouldn't be able to see anything. So the Tanchuma makes the following remarks. In the simple pshat from the Tanchuma would imply that Yitzchak did not see the truth about Esav. The Medrash says, "Hayimetami Yitzchak Vaymer." Yitzchak was astonished. He was very impressed by this Esav, and he had a lot of nachas from him. And he would say, "Re'ei bni zeh kama medaktik b'mitzvus. Look at my child; he's such a medaktik when it comes to mitzvus." Hayoymer le aviv, and Esav would say to his father, and then Yitzchak would say, "Bini, hechen ha'isa b'yemze? Where were you today?" And Esav would say, "I was in the Beis HaTalmud. Of course, I was learning." And then Esav would start to be mefalfa with him in halacha. He'd say, "Lekachu halacha min kach v'kach, lekach yisru, lekach yitera." A whole back and forth in learning. And to this, Yitzchak was caught in the web of Esav. Al-Kainahavo, and that's why he loved him. That's why he loved him. Nevertheless, Ruach HaKadosh, Tzavachas, Ruach HaKadosh would shout, Ki Echanein Koiloi Al-Tamin Boy. Even though his voice seems very sweet, Al-Tamin Boy, don't believe him. He's up to no good. Ki Sheva To'evas Balibo. There are seven To'evas in his heart. Simple pshat in this medrash would be that Esav was a flat-out liar. He was claiming to be in the base medrash, but he really wasn't. Well, if that's the case, then how was he such a lamed? It sounds like he was asking shtarka shailas, right? He was a lamed. Must have been a lamed if Yitzchak was so impressed. So if he wasn't in the base medrash, how was he so shtark? How did he know so much? The tzaddikim bring out whether it's true about Esav himself or not. But the tzaddikim, especially the Talmid of Baal Shem, they didn't just darshan Esav as Esav in the Bible. Esav is always a symbol, a representation of the opposite of Yaakov, which is Kedusha, which is how to walk in the Derech Hashem. The opposite of that is Esav. Rabbunim and other tzaddikim would say about Esav like this. Esav is not what you think he is, like he's portrayed to be in the children's books, with this multicolored coat, with a buzz haircut, and a pointy beard, and tattoos on his face, and ears rings, and nose rings, and v'chule. That's not Esav. Esav is more likely somebody who has a nice frock, white socks, nice long beard, gives shalashudis tairas, has a whole chevron, and a whole tzibur. That's more likely who Esav was. A nice following, nice amount of chassidim. In fact, Chazal is mashma this way, because Chazal said, the Gemara tells us that la'asalava, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming to give schar, anybody who was Isaac in Torah, Yavo v'itol schar, will come and get your reward. So the Gemara says that Esav is going to sit amongst the tzaddikim and disguise himself amongst the tzaddikim. Nobody's going to notice. Esav is going to go unnoticed, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will have to come and pull him out and say, this is not for you. Now Rabbi Yosef, take a look at this chazal. It's very deep. Nobody noticed Esav? How could you not notice him? Who doesn't notice when a Chinese guy, a reporter, comes into the Beis Medrash to do an interview? Could you miss him? You can't miss him. How could you have missed Esav? Elamai, the pshat is that Esav, whether again this was Esav or this is a drush about Esav, Esav is not just the classic villain. Esav represents much more than that. In fact, Chazal tell us that Yaakov and Esav are represented by the Seir LaHashem and the Seir LaZazel on Yom HaKippur. That we take all the aveiros that the Jewish people do and we give them all over to the Seir LaZazel. As Sfarim HaKadoshim explained, because really, it's Esav who is at fault for the sins of the Jewish people. Now, the Gemara says in Brachos that it's really the Sa'or Shebe'isa and Shibir Malchias. A Jew is pure. A Jew is Tam, Yaakov Ish Tam. And it's because of the outside influences, like the Yitzhahara and the Shibir Malchias, that we come to do Aveiros in the first place. So Yom Kippur is the day of the final Birur, the ultimate Birur, where it becomes clear that Yaakov does mitzvahs and Esav does Aveiros. And we know about the Seir LaZazel and the Seir LaHashem that they were identical. You couldn't tell the difference between the Seir LaHashem and the Seir LaZazel. And again, this is coming to portray and to teach us that an outsider, and even an insider, who tries to look and to see the difference between Yaakov and Esav, it's nish pashat. That it takes godly eyes, like Hashem himself, to be able to discern the difference between them, like we find by David HaMelech. When Shmuel HaNavi came, and he was looking amongst the sons of Yishai, who was going to be the Mashiach Hashem. So he went through all the first sons of Yishai, the first seven sons. And by each one Hashem said, no, this is not him, this is not him. So finally came to David. And Shmuel himself had to admit that although he was the Chayza, although he was the Roya, that he was able to see, he couldn't see so deep. But there was a place in the heart of David HaMelech which was so deep that even Shmuel couldn't see. And this is much more than just a dogma of that. The Sfarim HaKadoshim speak about, we've mentioned this many times in the past, that David HaMelech was the tikkun of the neshama of Esav. Just like the Torah describes Esav as Admoni, David HaMelech too is described as Admoni. David was the tikkun of the neshama of Esav. And the correlation is very clear, that there's a place in the heart of David HaMelech, whereas on the surface, he may look like an Esav, but in the core of who he is, he's on the level of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He's the fourth regal of the Merkabah of Hashem. Whereas Esav is the opposite. That on the outside, he may look like he's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He's part of the Avos HaKadoshim. But in the Pnimius, his Chever is really like the Hamans, not the Yoichesis, and the Paros of the world. So Elamai, we see that there's something about this Esav that he does spend time in the Beis Medrash. And he is a lamda. And he knows how to learn. And he says lots of very gevaldik shurim, which go on Wayu Torah. They're very popular, and everybody likes to listen to them. So therefore, what is the difference between Yaakov and Esav? Why is Yaakov the tzaddik and Esav not the tzaddik? So the Torah tells us why. The Torah tells us, we just have a few words to describe the difference between Yaakov and Esav. That Yaakov is an Ish Tam Yoshev Olam, and Esav is an Ish Sadeh. Now this, of course, would seem like a stira to everything we just described. The simple pshat in Chazal is what? That Yaakov is sitting in the Olam. Yaakov is in the Beis Medrash, and Esav is just a hunter. It would seem, though, based on everything we've built up until now, that Esav is also Yoshev Olam. If that's the case, then what does an Ish Sadeh mean? How is it different than the Yoshev Olam? The Teretz is that Sadeh and Oihel represent much more than just landscapes. An Oihel means Pnimius. like a bias. Something which is pnimi, which is internal, which is deep. Whereas sade, out in the open, in the revealed, is something chitzonius, something on the outside. What this is coming to tell us is that there's a mahalach in avodas Hashem which is pnimi, and there's a mahalach which is chitzoni. And although you can have two people sitting in the same base medrash, or in different batei midrashim, and they look like they're wearing the same clothes and doing the same thing, but in pnimius, one is really a Yaakov, one is an Esav. And therefore, it doesn't guarantee that just because somebody is learning Torah, and he's been learning many hours of Torah, that he's going to be a Yaakov Avinu. Could very well be an Esav. So what is this message that Chazal are trying to bring out, this Farmak Doshim are trying to tell us about this Esav? Who is this Esav? What we have here in this Medrash is a description of Esav, is that Esav is somebody who's midaktik. Midaktik b'halacha. Rashi quotes it in this week's parasha, this past week's parasha, that he would say, and he would ask questions to Esav, to Yaakov, to Yitzchak, excuse me, his father, and he would say, Eich ma'aser in tevel u'melach. How do you give ma'aser on tevel and melach? Just agav, it's a very interesting discussion. What do you mean, how do you give ma'aser on tevel u'melach? It should say, is there ma'aser on tevel u'melach? However, if that's the pshat, then it's a really ridiculous question, because the halacha is that you have to be begeder meichel to give ma'aser. You have to be a food. Tevin and melech are not food. Yet the question is not, do you give? It can't be, because then Esav wouldn't appear to be so smart. So Rav Chaim Kineski has a whole mahalach. If you want to take a look at this more, Taima Dekra, he explains, based on a Rambam, what these questions are. The Tzavtas Panech, the Regel Shavar also, although the Regel Shavar in his Regel Shavar way, also alludes to something which Rav Chaim Kineski elaborates on. However way you slice it, Esav is asking an Eisen Akasha. How is it that you give Ma'aser from Tevin and Melech? He's a Midaktik Ba'alacha. Problem is that of course it's virtuous and it's very nice to be a Midaktik Ba'alacha. However, it's also very important to have the Sharashim and the Pnimius there as well. Because to be a medaktik b'halacha, from the perspective of an oyved Hashem be'emes, is considered to be chitzonius. There's something which is more pnimi and more essential, more vital than being a medaktik b'halacha. And that's first and foremost, having the yesoides of Yahad is very clear. The yesoides of avodas Hashem, being a Jew, are being very strongly rooted in the inyanim of emuna, bitachin in Hashem, avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, kavod for tamid chachamim. If you want to see an example of this, take a look at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where the Rambam doesn't count the Sefer HaMitzvahs by the order which they're listed in the Torah, like the Sefer HaChinuch does. The Rambam is a very unusual order, and he begins the first handful or two of mitzvahs with yesoidus, what he calls the yesoidus in avodas Hashem. The very first one is Anechi Shem Elokecha, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Yichud Hashem, Dveikus with Talmid Chachamim. This is how the Rambam begins Sefer Mitzvahs. Rambam writes in numerous places, in the Yad HaChazaka and in Shuvis, and in Perish of Mishnayos, that the Ikr, the foundation of everything, is Emunah Hashem. Yugimel Ikr. Foundations of Yiddishkeit. If a person is trying to make a skyscraper, but there's no Yesod, but there's no cornerstone, then the whole building is an utter failure from the beginning. If a person wants to have a connection to Hashem, if he wants to be a Jew who's Miyal Elenu Hashemayimah, to come up to the heavens and vikas with Hashem, there needs to be a very strong Yesod. That's what we know in the Sfarim HaKdoshim we've spoken about before. That the whole Indian of the Yesod, which is Bris Milah, that Bris Milah is called by the sphere of Yesod. Bris Milah is able to be Makasher, the lower parts and the higher parts of a person. Because we know that the Bris Milah is on the lower part of the body. It really is, has its Sharashim in the head. The Gemara says, "In Kishrei Ela Ladas." What's poil, the Ever HaBris, is a person's Machshavos. So although it's very low, it comes from a very high place. That's how it's Nifal. It's able to span the heavens, which is the higher part of the Adam, because that Tipa, which gives birth, comes all the way from the Mayach of the Father. It comes from Shemayim all the way down to the lower parts. I could quote it from the Zohar in previous Shurim. The Zohar says, "Mi yala lanu Hashemayim." Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parashas Vayelech, "Who will go up to the heavens to receive the Torah?" So the Zohar says, "Mi yala lanu Hashemayim." Is Rashi Tevis Mila, because Mila is the koyach which allows a person to go up to Shemayim and to come back down, to be Makasha Shemayim Varetz. We see it in this past week's Parasha also, that the bracha which Yitzchak gives Yaakov. And this is Yaakov. He's going to be our hero. It says, "V'yitin l'cha Elokim mital ha-shamayim ha-mishmani ha-aretz." There's a connection which is taking place between Shemayim and Aretz. Mital ha-shamayim ha-mishmani ha-aretz. He's been given both. Yaakov is able to connect Shemayim and Aretz if he's been given such brachos. So we know Yaakov Avinu is the person who is Shomer Bris, that he says about Reuven, that he's Reishis Koichi V'ayni, the very first Kippah, that all those years in the house of Lavan, Yaakov was Mr. Nefesh for Shmiras Abris. That although he desired Rachel and to marry Leah very, very much, Rachel more than Leah, of course, and he had to wait 7 years. Imagine having to wait 7 years to marry the woman who you know as your Shidduch, to build a nation from her. Now how would that be a mamish, an impossibility, kimat, for Ben Torah in this generation, to be a Shomer Bris for 7 years? Not to see a tipa even at night, but onis? Kimat, impossible. Just to give us a hasag of the kedusha of the Avos HaKadosh. But Lavan did that intentionally in order to be machshel Lavan, to be machshel Yaakov in this. He wanted deliberately to be machshel. And even the whole switcheroo that he played on Yaakov in this week's parsha, that he gave Rachel the second go, and let Leah go first, that was also in order to make a pagam in the whole mitzvah of Yaakov Avinu. Because there's something to be said about if a person has a machshav about woman A and it's woman B, that's also a pagam. That also can be called pagam bris. So he was ma'achshel Yaakov Avinu on some level. He didn't walk away scot-free. That's why Yitin L'chah Elokim Mital. Aside from the Vav, Rashi goes on the Vav. Yachser V'yitin. Really, the Vav shouldn't be there, Rashi says. Why should he say V'yitin? He hasn't started anything. It's the opening remark. Should be without a Vav. Yitin L'chah Elokim Mital is Rashi Tevis Mila. In the Schus of the Bris, that's why Yaakov was getting the Brachas and not Esav. Not because Esav wasn't a Lamdin. Not because Yaakov was putting more hours in the base medrash than Esav. Esav knew how to learn. That Yaakov was an Ishtam and he was a Shomer Bris. Like the Zohar says, Tam means Shomer Bris. Esav was not a Shomer Bris. That means that Yaakov was an Ishpnimi and Esav was an Ishchitzani. Translated as being that Yaakov's Torah was rooted in Yesodus of Emunah B'Tachon and Avas Hashem and Yerushalayim. Whereas Esav was just learning. He was medactic b'halacha. And it could be that he was more medactic than halacha than Yaakov was. But Yaakov was putting his koiches into Emunah and Yerushalayim. That's where he wanted to invest. Not to be medaktik in halacha, to think to himself, what chumras can I come up today to do? How can I be a real big machmir? And b'chlal by the Tamidim Hashem, they frowned upon chumras because it's a distraction from the ikar. And it's very confusing for a ben yeshiva, a person especially who's just being involved in Yiddishkeit, and he's looking to see what's a role model, what's an example, and he looks around the room, around the yeshiva, and he sees this guy, like he's very medactic in the face, in how long his tzitzis are, or how the ritzuas, that they're black on both sides, or whatever chumras and hidurim, which are gevaldic and they're beautiful, they have their place in Avodas Hashem. We're not being mezanzel chas v'shalom. But it just requires that a person should know what's an ikr and what's a tafel. It's like if you're having a steak, right? And you're eating your steak with your ketchup, right? It's backwards if your ikkar is your ketchup and then you're dipping your ketchup into your steak. Because you have to know what's an ikkar and what's a tafel. A Jew needs to be rooted in his ikkar and then know what's a tafel as well. When a Jew takes the tafel's in Torah, which is the diktak and halacha, and it's not rooted in an ikkar, and the ikre, avoida, and that's the bechin of an esav. He's called an ish chitzoni. Just doesn't get it. Doesn't get it. What happens to such a Jew is that his avoidus Hashem becomes cold. It's kar. There's a kriris in his avoidus Hashem. There's no hislavus. He's being medactic in halacha, but it's painful. That becomes painful. And I never like to use the word burnout, because I think it's a lashon hara on Torah. That this is the real root of it. Is that Torah is something which has caused the person to be warm and burnt up and to be alive in avodas Hashem. There's no such thing that Torah causes anybody to burn out. Torah burns you up. If a person is not the right keli, if there's something wrong, then don't put the lashon hara on the Torah. The person has to look at himself and say, what's going on here? The Torah is perfect. This is Shashua Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a Jew can also be perfect. But don't go ahead and blame the Torah. The person has to say to himself, no, something's going wrong on my end. That's what we find about Esav, that he has a Amalek. And the Torah says about a Amalek, Asher Karach HaBaderach. The Bnei Esav left Mitzrayim, they were on fire when they left Mitzrayim. Straight ahead to Eretz Yisrael to receive the Torah. And that's why Chazal Darshan, Asher Karcha Rashi brings it, it's a Lashon Kar, coldness. The Bnei Yisrael were very hot, and they cooled off that bath the Bnei Yisrael were swimming in. Asher Karcha, they made them cold. And of course, Karcha is a Lashon Keri, which is Pagam Bris, because the two things go hand in hand. The Yisoidus in Avodas Hashem, the Kedusha, which is Nachutz for a person to feel that Chiyus which comes in Avodas Hashem. And the pasuk continues in that parasha, in the end of parasha Kiseitze. Torah says, "Va'ata ayef yageya v'lo yarei aleihim," that you were worn out, v'lo yarei aleikim, and you didn't have Yerushalayim. So there's a shaila in the mefarshim. Who is that going back on? V'lo yarei aleikim. Is it going back on Bnei Yisrael, or is that going back on Amalek? Who is lo yarei aleikim? So Pinchas Kartzer, he quotes Abzusha saying a beautiful vart. Zusha teaches the pasuk like this, that it's shaykh that you can have a person who's ayef, viyageya, that he works tirelessly, that he's a big maspin in the base medrash, that he's tired and he's worn out from his limud ha-Torah, and yet, v'lo yarei elokim, he still doesn't have Yerushalayim. There's such a mitzias like that. Somebody with really long peyes, white shirt, nice beard, sitting in the base medrash tirelessly, b'hasmada rabba, he's ayef yageya from his learning, but in the realm of avodas Hashem, v'lo yarei elokim, he's lacking Yerushalayim. And that's our Esav. Like Esav says in this week's parasha, what does Esav say? He comes in, he sees the adoim ha-adoim hazeh, the red lentils, what does he say? Ki ayef anoichi. It's ayef. Esav is the ayef. And the Medrash says, what does it mean, ayif anoichi? Anoichi is what? Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. That he's worn out in the base Medrash. He spent a lot of hours there. But he's ayif anoichi, but there's no anoichi in his life. There's no anoichi Hashem Elokecha. The Yisoidus are lacking. There's no emunah, there's no bitachon, there's no av in Yerushalayim. This is our Esav. To further that point, Chazal tell us that when Yaakov has that melchama in Parshas Vayishlach, Vayyovek Yishimai, when he confronts that man, of which Chazal tells us this is the Soro Shal Esav, how is this Esav described in Chazal? What does this Ish look like? So one day that the Medrash has is that he looked like a Nachri, he looked like a guy. But the other day that the Medrash has is that he looked like a Talmud Chacham. These are the two prototypes for our Esav, which we described before. This is the classical Esav, right? Who looks like the Hamans? All the Russians of the world. But then there's the Haman, then there's the Esav, who's the Talmud Chacham. That he looks like a Talmud Chacham. That he sits in the Beis Medrash and he's learning about Smada. That's the Esav. Who's trying to be Pagan Yaakov and take him out of his Dveikus. Like the Sfarim all say, what is this Milchama? What is the nature of this Milchama? It's not a wrestling match. This is a war that Esav tried to be Machshil Yaakov, that he should be Mesiach Das from his Dveikus with Hashem. Because Yaakov was always tumbled with Dveikus with Hashem, and he tried that he should have a Hesach Hadas in that Dveikus. That was the nature of the Milchama. That he should ask him Shilas in learning, like how you ma'aser Tevin and Kash, that he should forget for a second about the Dveikus with Hashem. Like I've shared before, that Maisa, the Chayzer from Lublin, when he was in the Beis Medrash from Shmelki from Nicholsburg, when he learned by him for those years that he was there, Shmelka told him, and he was his Talmud, he says, if you ever see me that I'm learning with such a starkeit, that I'm going like this with my finger and lumbus back and forth like that, and I forget about Hashem even for a second, do me a favor, just grab my thumb. You can wave your thumb so much in learning and lumbus that you forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. When I do that, just hold on to my thumb. I remember what I'm really supposed to be remembering. So the answer is the Pella on the Mishnah and Avos. The Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Meir tells us, Kol HaShachiach Davar Echad Min Mishnaso, if a person forgets even one thing from his learning, Mischayev Ben Afsho. It's like Mischayev Misa. If you forget one thing from your learning, Mischayev Ben Afsho. How could that be? Who's alive today? So the Baal Shem Tov teaches the following. Let's wait to see if you forget one thing from your learning. If you forget Davar Echad. Davar Echad means the one thing. The it thing. Which really, B'derech HaMez, means the Dibur Echad. What's the Dibur Echad? Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. If you forget the Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, even from your learning, even from this, you're still Mischayev B'Nafsho. Because you've separated Hashem from the Torah. And when you separate Hashem from the Torah, you just have dry, cold avodas Hashem. That's not what Hashem wants. That chut hasayir is the difference between Yaakov and Esav. That davar echad min mishnasay. And we know that before Yaakov went down to the house of Lavan, in this week's parasha, Hashem gave him a dream. Gave him a dream. And in that dream, he saw the most unbelievable giluyim in that dream. Greater giluyim than he experienced in the house of Beis Medrash, in the Beis Medrash of Shema Eber for 14 years. He didn't learn as much in those 14 years in Shema Eber than he learned in that one dream that he had that night. And the Torah says, Vayikatz Yaakov Mimishnasai. Not just Mishnasai, which means from his sleep. Mimishnasai, from his learning. Which means to say that Yaakov was being taught right now. That even when you go down to the house of Esav, you have to be connected to Hashem Yisbarach. What was this dream? What was this learning that Yaakov was learning? This was a type of a learning which he saw the Malachim going up and down, but Hashem was watching over him. Hashem was present in that dream. And this is the type of Torah that Hashem was teaching Yaakov Avinu. Don't separate Hashem Yisbarach from the Torah. That's what the Laban is going to want to make you do. That's what Esav is going to want to make you do. You should separate Hashem Yisbarach from his Torah. That the Torah should become cold. That he should even be medaktik b'halacha, in a way that you forget Hashem Yisbarach, that's already not Tiras Hashem anymore. That's not Tiras Hashem Tmima, which is the hallmark of Yaakov Ishtam. This is the difference, therefore, between the Beis Medrash of Yaakov and the Beis Medrash of Esav. Esav also had a Beis Medrash. And it had a name, and it was a very big building, and it had a lot of chassidim there. But this was the mantra. Diktuk b'halacha. That was what it was all about. They didn't talk about Hashem. They didn't talk about Avodas Hashem. They just talked about Dikta B'Halacha. Listen to the words of Rav Nosson from Breslov in the Kutei Halachas in Hilchos Hefker V'Nichsei Ager Perek Dalet, Simulam Beis. He says something very beautiful. And he always writes beautifully. He writes, Ki la'asid yihiyu yeshivas shlemos kedoshos. La'asid lava, they're going to be very holy, wholesome yeshivas. Shall yilmedu bahem halimud shal ha'amuna hakadosha. It's going to be bate midrashim where we're going to be learning about emuna hakadosha bebechinas, like the pasuk says in Hosea, ad oyishivcha ba'ohalim ki meimoyed. Ad oyishivcha ba'ohalim. like those times where you sat in those ahalim, kimei moed, like from yesteryear. Zot Rashi, kimei perish Rashi sham, kimei moed rishon shachaya Yaakov ishtam yoshev ahalim. Rashi says, what is this referring to? Hashem says, I'm going to bring you back to the Batei Midrashim of who? Of Yaakov Avinu. So Ibn Hassan is bothered by, what is this Beis Medrash of Yaakov? How is it different than our Batei Midrashim? So he explains, V'chol ha-yeshiva shel Yaakov Avinu shelamad mi yeshiva im banav, bi yeshiva im banav, the yeshiva of Yaakov that he learned with his children was one of, with his children is Talmidim, like Chazal tell us, Hakol haya belimud shel ha-emun ha-kdeisha. The main limud in the Beis Medrash of Yaakov was a limud in emun ha-kdeisha. Ki ha-mitzvahs adayin lo nidnu ve-ikr. The mitzvahs weren't really given yet. So therefore, ikr limudam haya be-emun ha-kdeisha. The ikr limud which they learned was in yonim in emunah. Levatel ha-avadazara v'ha-kfiris. To be mevatel all the avadazara and the kfiris in the world. With a hamshich v'lita v'likboya v'leiv kol echa v'echad ha-emunah ha-kdeisha b'shleimus. To instill within each and every one of his children and Talmidim true emunah in Hashem. And then he writes, V'al kein meseches avodah zarah d'Avraham Avinu. The Gemara tells us that the mesecht of Avraham Avinu haya tof nun vav prakim was 456, 400 prakim. The Chazal tell us, ki haya lahem limud gadol v'nifla v'zeh. This was the ikr limud. The ikr limud was what? In yonam v'emunah n'avodah zarah. To bring down pure, holy emunah into the world. This is the Beis Medrash of Yaakov Avinu. So Rabbi said, there's the Beis Medrash of Yaakov, and there's the Beis Medrash of Esav. What he's telling us is that the Nevuah which says, I'm going to bring you back to the ultimate Midrashim. Like your great Zayda, Yaakov Avinu's Beis Medrash, where they spoke about emunah in that Beis Medrash. That they taught principles of emunah because the biggest sugyas in all of Shas are really the sugyas of emunah, bitachon, avas Hashem, yirah shamayim. Very, very deep in yonah. Of course, all primus atayra is based upon this. This is the limit of the neshama. You can only go so deep with your chakiras, with your seichel, but with your neshama you can go very, very deep. And the sugyas of emunah require a Jew that he should be mekadesh himself. Because there's certainly muyim and giluyim that when a person goes to the level forever and ever, he doesn't have the Seichel HaGashmi anymore. Right? The Ikar Liman in Shemayim has nothing to do with the Seichel HaGashmi. It has to do with very deep things which are access to a person's neshama. Neshama Dika Limudah. The more that a person is Makadish himself, the more that he opens up to real depth in Torah. This is the Chilak between. It's a Dakistik Chilak. Between the Limud of Yaakov and the Beis Medrash of Esav. We see this from the fact that when Yaakov came to get the brachos, Yitzhak was caught off guard when Yaakov mentioned the Shem Hashem. Asha hikra Hashem alokecha lefanai. Because he knew that Esav didn't say the Shem Shemai. Because by Esav, it wasn't Mat Hashem Yisbarach. There was no Hashem in the Limud. He never came to Yitzhak to talk and learning where he mentioned Hashem. Yeah, was zeichet to the tzchidish b'siyat to the shmaya. None of that. Dry. No Hashem in the limud. Just theology. Not even theology. He was a ben Torah. He was learning shtark. He was in the Beis Medrash. It wasn't just a Kabbalah center. He was learning shtark. This is the Esav. But there was no Hashem shemayim shagam b'fif. Whereas Yaakov said Hashem hikra Hashem alokecha lefanai. Right? It was somewhat of a stira too. Asher Hikra, which is Lashon Kar. Hashem Elokech Lefanai. Got Yaakov Yitzchak wondering. And he said, right? Hakol Kol Yaakov, Aydem De Esav. Right? Is this a Yaakov? Is this an Esav? So therefore, Esav is the type that he likes to say big pilpulin, big drashas, big sugyas, be very impressive Talmud Chacham. And to walk out feeling very good. Oh, such a good Torah. Everybody's going to clap. It really was empty from the Ikka, which is what Hashem wants. The Torah, Mashbiya, Emunah, Bitach, and Yerushalayim, and Avos Hashem. But today was the Yartzeit of the Marsha. Marsha's Yartzeit. You know, we know the Marsha as being in the back of the Gemara. It says Pshat and Rashi, it says Pshat and Taisvis. Having the Marsha was a Gevaldik Tzaddik. It was a big Machnas Sareach. The Baal Shev Tov said that if anybody knew how great the Marsha was, they would go to his grave and lick the dust by his grave. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said about the Maharsha. The Chazon Ish said that the Olam forgot how to learn Torah when they started to forsake the words of the Maharsha. The Maharsha teaches a Jew how to learn Pshat, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. When we began to neglect the Maharsha, we forgot how to learn. The Maharsha always has that kasha on the sugi, which opens up your eyes to new oimek and what's going on. The Devi Chaim writes in the Tshuva, where he talks about the Derech HaLimud in Poland. He says, Ha'emez she'ein min hag poilin lefalfel l'chadish chidushim. Zulas gadol hador etzuv merabanon haroi liyaz gadol. He says, the Derech HaLimud in Poland was that the Jews there did not say pilpulim. They didn't say long drushas and shurim. They learned pshat. The only ones who said big pilpulim were the Talmid HaChachamim, the Gedolei Poland, who really knew how to learn. And they were big Talmid HaChachamim. Whereas everybody else, v'yasa halayim dim, oiskim b'tayra, shasim paiskim. They learned pshat. Lahavin heitev, u'miyagim, that they would work, b'hasmada, and very hard, al chidushi ha-marsha, or the Magen Avraham, lahavin karoi. That's what he says. Understand pshat. Pshat in Shulchan Aruch, pshat in the Gemara, pshat in Rashi Tosfos. The Ateris Yeshua, the Juk of Arav, he writes very beautifully in this week's parasha, where he describes the difference between Yaakov and Esav like this. This is very nice. He says, B'derech Halatza. B'derech Halatza always means like, it's like a vart. It's not to say pshat, it's to be a vart. He says like this. He says, Esav achiv ish sayer v'anach ish chalak. What did Yaakov mean when he said, Esav is an ish sayer and I'm an ish chalak? Hainu, ki rivka tzivsa Yaakov shir yilma b'derech pilpul. She said, Yaakov, you should start to learn b'derech pilpul. That's what she said. Va'asi matamim lavicha. Make matam, means something sweet. Make a nice Torah from your father, right? You're coming for brachas. Give him a nice pshatel. Give him a nice pshatel. Something very geschmack. To get good brachas, you need to say good Torah. Because matamim, the sweetness of pilpul deraisa. But Yaakov Avinu was very afraid of this. Why? When a Jew learns like that, he didn't want that his Torah should have any shemets of gaiva. Say a nice Torah, feel very good about it. He wanted his Torah to be completely the Shem Shemayim. Because he said, a Torah is like that are Bechinas Esav, which is the Sitra Achra. That's why he said, Hein Esav Achi, he's an Ish Sa'er. Sa'er is like hairs, that they're always Mesubach Zabizah. It's like a pilpul, which you make out of hairs and they become tied together. Va'anoichi Ish Chalak, but for me, I'm a plain Jew. I say Pshat. Lilmud Bepashtis B'chaluk Udarbanan. I only say Pshat and Sugis. But she wanted that she should say a shtickle Torah. Say a real nice Torah to Yitzchak. He should be impressed by your Torah. Because really, he's only giving the brachas to Yitzchak because he sees it's a groi salam, then he has really sharp eyes and akashas. Say a Torah like that. He said, no. I want to say a Torah like that. Because he was afraid of the lack of the L'shem Shemayim in his Torah, which would come out of that. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, Daf Tesvav, Amr Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina said the following thing: Hakari Kriyashma, one who says Shema, Umedaktik Be'oisi Eseha, and he's very careful to say each word, each letter, the way he's supposed to. Mitzanin the night Eishal Gehenim, Hashem will cool off Gehenim for him. Of course, this is a very puzzling Chazal. Like, what's going on over here? What does one have to do with the next? If you say Shema very slowly, very carefully, each word the way it's supposed to be. So the reward for that is that Hashem cools off Gehenna for you. What's even pshat in that? Now what happens when a Jew hears that? For many of you, probably this is your first time learning this Debre Chazal. So, what's going to happen? So some of us may go to the Beis Medrash, and we're going to, or Davin Ma'ariv here maybe after, and we're going to say Shema extra carefully tonight, right? We say Shema very carefully, and that comes from a very good place. Okay, I'm going to do Chazal. On common words of Chazal, I say Chazal, I say very carefully. What's the retribution? What's the flip? What's the chisarn in that? The chisarn is that all of a sudden your Shema just became a fear out of Gehenna, right? You're not saying Shema anymore. You're thinking the whole time like, oh, how can I be so careful not to, you know, roll these words together because I'm gonna pay in Gehenna for that. So now you just lost your whole Kriya Shema. Because you're so worried about Gehenna. And you know what happens? I guarantee you, if you haven't tried it, and if you do try it, if you try to say Shema like this, what the Gemara is telling you, you're going to say, V'ahavta es Shem Kecha. After a minute or two, you're going to be, not burnt out, but you're going to be worn out from that. You're going to be like, okay, when is the Shema going to be over already? And is that what Hashem wants from Shema? That you should say it like that in a way that you're going to be just sucked the life out of you? Obviously not. But an Ish Chitzoni will do that. Right? You must have seen somebody like this. I daven consistently with somebody where his Shema is a very long Shema, and he says it like that, and it's not much like it eats me up inside when I hear him say Shema like that. It drives me crazy. Because it just reminds me that I feel bad for him. I pashut feel bad for him, that he has no Shema, and he has no enjoyment out of the davening, and he's worried about Gehenim. He's worried about being in Gehenim. Is that how a Jew should live his life? That he should be afraid of Gehenim his whole life? So for such a person, pshat in this chazal is as follows. That the reason why Hashem will cool off Gehenna for you, lo aselavo, is because when you say Shema like that, that's Gehenna for you. And you basically, it's zeh tachazeh. Instead of having to have Gehenna in the next world, your Kriya Shema has become your Gehenna. That becomes pshat in the chazal. But that's not the primis pshat in the chazal. That can't be what chazal means. So what do chazal mean? What's pshat in chazal? The pshat is that when you come to Kriya Shema and you say the words Ahava Rabba Avtanu Hashem Lechinu Chem L'Gadol V'Yisayruch Amalat Aleinu Avinu Malkinu Ava Rachamon Hamarachim Rachim Na'aleinu, and you speak like that Hashem Yisbarach, and then you say HaBoich Abraham Yisrael B'Ahava, and then you declare Hashem's oneness, and you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Eloginu Hashem Echad, and then you say V'Ahavta Hashem Elokeinu, you speak about Ahavas Hashem, you become on fire from Hashem. You want to run through the Kriya Shema so fast because you love it so much. You're going to eat it up very fast. A person who hasn't eaten something in 3 days and you put a piece of steak in front of him, he's going to gobble it up right away because he's very hungry and he has an appetite for it. If a Jew is a healthy Jew, then the words of davening are delicious to him. And there's nothing more delicious than when you talk in davening about Avos Hashem and Yir Shamayim. Like when you say Nuvol Tzion, who yiftach libinu b'sayros v'yosem libinu havos v'yavos, it should be delicious. You should want to hang on to those words. And even if they're running to go ahead and to say Kedusha, you should still be holding on to those words. I'm not letting go so fast of these words. I had to work a lot to get here. It took me 45 minutes to come to these words. You should look forward to those words. You should look forward to Kriya Shema. But it's so delicious, you want to eat it up. And Chazal say, wait a second, slow down. Slow down. Because if you're going to rumble through these words like that, you're going to mess up a little bit. You have to have that yichud of that Avas Hashem together with that Yir Hashem. Say it also here, Amin Lifnei HaMelech. Don't swallow too quickly. Make sure you chew it properly. That's what Chazal want. And for that they say, Mitzana L'Gehenna. Because he's medactic in the Osios, where he wants to be such an Oyev Hashem and to run through it very quickly, Chazal says, slow down. This, Rabbi Isai, is the difference between Chazal and the Beis Medrash of Yaakov and the Beis Medrash of Esav. The way that they said pshat in the Beis Medrash of Esav is like the first guy we talked about. That it's just a guy who's trying to be medaktik b'yisrael. He's being medaktik. Esav was a big daktik. He was medaktik in how to give off ma'aser and tevin v'kash, tevin u'melach. So this person is being medaktik in how he says each word of Kriya Shema painfully. Mamash b'tzar gadol. When is this going to be over already? That's in the Beis Medrash of Esav. But the Beis Medrash of Yaakov, every single word is so delicious. And you say it like a mensch, you say it normally. Instead of rumbling through it very quickly. But every word is delicious. Every word is sweet to Yaakov Avinu. And he's not as medactic as much as Esav and Zach. But Rabbi said, who's the real Ovid Hashem here? The guy in the Beis Medrash is going very loud and he's saying so everybody can hear him, right? V'chol, levavchem, v'chol, nafshachem. Or the guy who's saying it quietly, pashit. He's a 1 minute Shema, not a 3 minute, 4 minute Shema. Who is the real Ovid Hashem? It's not always so easy to tell. You're sitting at one Beis Medrash, but some people in the Beis Medrash of Yaakov, in the Beis Medrash of Esav. It's not just those people who are in the fields doing all those Averas, Avichina Vesav. The Tzaddikim are trying to bring out that even in the Beis Medrash itself, the Jew has to know very carefully what's an Ikr and what's a Tafel, but the Yisrael should be very clear to a Jew. And that's actually merumas in the Chazal. The Gemara goes on to explain. The Chazal say that when you say words in Shema, where the last letter of the word is the same letter as the upcoming word, the first letter of the upcoming, for example, b'chol levavcha. As Chazal say, don't say b'chol levavcha, right? B'chol levavcha. Separate between the two lamets. So the Gemara calls that each person should be yitain revach ben hadveikim, to put space between the dveikis, between the two letters. It shouldn't be madbik the lamets debezah. But for our purposes, revach ben hadveikim means you have to make a space in your dveikis. That a person who says Shema with that dveikis, you need to put a revach ben hadveikim. That those who say Shema with the dveikis, they should be careful not to swallow up each word out of their dveikis which they have for Kriya Shema. Like Rabbi Akiva, Yatza Nishmas of Echad, that he had such a dveikis at the time of that Echad that he expired. He passed away. His neshama went up from that. Wasn't the pshat that they killed him? But that he said Shema, and with that Shema he left. Yatza Nishmas of Echad. You see the dveikis which he had when he said, B'chol Nafshach, I waited my whole life to say a Shema like this. It was always givaldic to Rabbi Akiva. It was always delicious to him. That the Zayar says, Ketzapichis Bidvash is referring to Kriya Shema, the Zayar says. Sweeter than honey is Kriya Shema. It should be very sweet. I want to take a little turn here to connect this Torah to something a little more pimi. One of the kavanas that the Arizal has in the Siddur when it comes to Kriya Shema. The Arizal has a whole kavana that after a Jew says Hashem Elokeichem Emes, there's a whole Seder where he says V'yatziv, we say this, V'yatziv, V'nocham, V'kayim, V'yashar, there are 15 vavin. And the Arizal has a whole kavana where he says, he works with these vavin, and he says that as we continue on here, we see the word la'ad two times. We say v'chiso nachon v'machuso v'emunoso la'ad kayames v'dvarav chayim v'kayim v'namani v'rach ma'adim la'ad, two times la'ad. So there he has a kavana here that la'ad is gematria kuf dalad. And there's two la'ads, which means that there's two kuf dalads. So kuf dalad spells the word kodkod, which means the skull. And the Rebbe has a whole kavana here, where he talks about, you have to build, I'll just say the words, the nukva, you have to build the parts of the nukva, you have to build this Rachel and Shammai, you have to build her. And you have to build the kodkod, which means her skull. You have to build her now. Like the roish of this nukva, of this nekeva. So therefore, this two times la'ad, which is gematria kod code, you have to build the kod code of racha. That's what the Ari says. And he says that this kod code is really the gematria of two times ben. We spoke about before, in the previous shurim, that one of the names of Hashem, within the permutations of the shame of Hashem, when you spell it out, comes to the gematria 52, which is called ben. And the Ari says that to get to this gematria 104, which is kod, kuf dalid, you need two bens, because 52 plus 52 is 104. See, the Rebbe has a whole kavani here, obviously with Kabbalistic implications. What this inyan is of kud kod, the building of this nukva, how it relates to these two bens. Two bens, and then again two bens. But al pipini is, for our purposes, you could say as follows. But if you take the gematria of kod kod, kuf dalid, 104 plus 104 is gematria 208. 208 is gematria Yitzchak. In fact, the Arizal in Chakavana says that explicitly. He writes, after we discuss these tesfav nimin, these 15 hairs, he calls them, these tesfav nimin, therefore we have to make the kod kod, which is the skull, which the hairs will be. And he says, "Lachain Yitzchak, Chu Nimshach Miagvuros Nikra Yitzchak has a shaykhes to this kod kod. Yitzchak is gematria kod kod. What do we do with these bends? These two bends and these two bends. So you could say that these two bends represent who? Yaakov and Esav, the children of Yitzchak. So Yaakov is Ben, and Esav is Ben. And together, we have that Kud Kod, which is Gematria Yitzchak. In fact, the Ari takes these 15 Vavs, and you'll excuse me if this doesn't make any sense, but some things have to be said and understood, and some things just have to be said. So the Ari says that you take these 15 Vavs, and he has a way of writing out this shame called Ben using these 15 Vavs. He uses them as like lines. But he uses these 15 Vavs as like sticks, as like lines, to spell out the shame Ben. So he constructs a Ben out of these 15, what he calls Nimin, these 15 hairs, which are on this cut code of Racha. So perhaps you could say Pshat is like this. Like we said, that Kud Kod refers to Yitzchak, and these two bands refer to Yaakov and Esav. And the reason why they're mentioned here is because where are we holding now? Emes V'Yatzev V'Nachon, after Kriyat Shema, before Shmona Esrei. And we just had a whole discussion about being medaktik when it comes to Kriyat Shema. And we said that there's two types of diktuk. There's the diktuk of Yaakov and there's the diktuk of Esav. There's the diktuk of Esav, which is chitzoniustik, which is really has nothing to do with Shema. It just has to save him from Gehenna. That's all that really matters. And there's the diktuk of Yaakov, which is founded on Yisoidus of Emunah B'Tachan in Hashem, that he has to slow down so that he says the Kriyat Shema properly, lest his vikas follow up the words. So after Kriyat Shema, a person needs to have access into Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei is like Olam Haba. It's called an Amida. It's like for that time in Shmona Esrei, you're literally in a different dimension. But not everybody's allowed to come into Shmona Esrei. Only Yaakov is allowed into Shmona Esrei. Esau's not allowed in. So only somebody who was medaktik in a way that Yitzchak would have nachas from, that Avraham Avinu would have nachas from, is allowed to come into Shmona Esrei. And it all depends upon the diktuk. Are you a medaktik like Yaakov or medaktik like Esau? And that's why Kud Kod is also the Osir's diktuk. That Yitzchak is teaching his children the koyach of diktuk, have to be medaktik and comes to Kriyat Shema. Yaakov has his mahalach and Esav has his mahalach. But who's going in? Only Yaakov's really going in. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And it could be that this Ben, which the Ari speaks about, where he takes these 15 hairs of these Vavin and he constructs this Ben out of that, as a remnant to the fact that how did Yaakov come before Yitzchak to take those brachos? Yaakov coming before Yitzchak to take the brachos is like a Jew coming to stand before Hashem every day in Shmona Esrei. He had to put on Esav's coat, no? He had to dress up like the Seir, like the Ish Seir. That's the pshat, that you have to, that this Ben, which is Yaakov, was the real Ben, that you make that Ben out of these hairs. Like, it's like this coat. This is how Yaakov Binu comes into Shmona Esrei, wearing that coat of these Tesvav Nimen. Because in the Sfarim HaKdoshim, the way that Kavana and Davening is understood is very different than we would classically understand Kavana. We think that we have to produce Kavana. But in the Sfarim HaKdoshim, Kavana is not something which you make, it's something which you're Zaycha to. That if you make it into Shmona Esrei, if you're really in Shmona Esrei, if you've been invited into the Heichal of Hashem, then you will have Kavana. In Pnimiyas HaTorah, the simin as to where you are is how much Kavana you had. I want you to think about this very carefully. The simon is to where you are, as to how much kavana you have. Were you allowed in or were you not allowed in? If it's going good, your davening is going good, then you've been let into the melech's chambers. If it's not going good, then you've not been let in, and you have to fight with those machshavas until Hashem lets you in. This is obviously a shmuz b'fnei asmo. Halavai we should be zeichet to talk about this very important inyan in avodas Hashem. But not everybody is zeichet to get in. And not everybody who's medaktik is amongst the medaktikim of Yaakov. It could be amongst the medaktikim of Esav also. If very from-looking Jews who makayim mitzvahs beautifully, and the chitzonius, but the pnimius is lacking. And what the Sfar Makdashim wanted to bring out is that you still don't get it yet. You still don't got it. That avodas Hashem has to be rooted on yesoides of avas Hashem, yiras Shemayim. Trying to come close to Hashem Yisbarach and that relationship with Hashem Yisbarach. And that's Pshat of the Chazal we mentioned before. He said Yitzhak, when he heard, when Esav would come in and he saw Kama Medaktik B'mitzvahs, he was so Medaktik in mitzvahs, and he would say to him, where were you today? And he said, I was in the Beis Medrash today. Isn't this halacha? Isn't that halacha? It's true. He was in the Beis Medrash. He was learning Torah. He was very sharp. But he was tzod befiv. He was tzayid befiv. It's like tzayid is gematria dak. He chapped him with his dakas kite. And then the Medrash says, al kena heva, but that's why Yitzhak loved him. It's not that Yitzhak was fooled. Yitzhak loved him because he saw that Esav had a very cold avodas Hashem. It was freezing cold. It was just an avodas Hashem, which is just diktuk and halacha. But it was lacking the warmth. It was lacking the hislavos. It was lacking the avas Hashem. It was lacking the yesoides. So Yitzhak loved him because by loving him, he tried to instill within him the love that he should have for Hashem Yisbarach. And although the Medrash goes on and it says, in the Ruach HaKodesh was screaming, what do you mean? Don't look at him on the surface. He has Shevet Ho'evas Belibay. He's filthy inside. Yitzhak knew that that's also Chitzonius, that he can get, he can be Makarev Esav. He knew that he can work with Esav, that if he just needs to plant seeds of Ahav in him. And by loving him, he would be able to plant seeds. And this is a very big Musa when it comes to raising children and Talmidim. And many Talmidim are cold in their Vaidus Hashem because the relationships in their lives are cold. The relationship with the Rebbe is cold. The relationships at home are cold. It causes a person to become cold, and he starts to think that the relationship with Hashem should be a cold relationship. But there's so much that could be done with the warmth which we show each other, that a Rebbe shows a Talmud, that a parent shows a child. And this is true in all areas of life between a husband and a wife, that the warmth guide, we know that it feels good to have warmth, to have warmth. The sun on a cold day is mamish, unbelievable. And you feel it in the Beis Medrash also. The warmth in the Beis Medrash produces a hislavus in the learning. The davening is gishmak. The learning is gishmak. And my yedidus mishkanai sayach, that it should be warm. That it should be warm. But it's important to recognize this chiluk that Rabbi Nelson is speaking about. That the Beis Medrash of Yaakov Avinu is also the Beis Medrash of Esav. But the Beis Medrash of Yaakov is filled with the yisoides of emunah. That you shouldn't be embarrassed or shameful to speak about emunah. To delve into the sugyas of emunah. This is the ikra. This is mamash the yisoid of everything. Of course, when the Tsar Shah Esav, when he gave a good knack into the legs of Yaakov, he was poking him in those things. The legs represent emunah. The Sfarim say that if a person has leg issues, he should think about the fact maybe his emunah is a little bit off. Because emunah is connected the raglam, which is netzach and hayd. The legs is the, which carries the body, it's the side of the body. Those are the raglam. That's why Esav, out of all the places he wanted to hit Yaakov, boom, he hit him in the legs to hit his emunah. Because that's Esav's shita, that's the Talmud Chacham who hit him. You can learn as much Torah as you want. As long as it's cold, learn whatever you want. Shouldn't be warm, shouldn't be filled with emunah bitachin. It's already lacking. It's not the Beis Medrash of Yaakov. We should be zeichet to see those days again, as the Navi says, Oy the Shiv Chavayalim, like those Batim Medrashim of old, Kimei Moye, the Beis Medrash of Yaakov, we should be able to see that emunah, to experience that emunah, and have that revelation again. Anoich Hashem Alakecha, Kam Shech Tidkenu, Mehev Aminu Amen.